Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margo Joy Denader, and I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Melissa Harding back as my guest today for Live Your Music. Tune in for a conversation about singing, songwriting, and her advice for you as a vocal coach. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, so glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was so much fun having you on the first time. I've just been wanting to have you back, and this just felt like the perfect time to do it. And so here we are.
Yes, back here. It's the perfect time. Summer's winding up, and we're getting back to the school year here.
Yeah, I know. Our son's 33 now, but I loved the back to school times with him.
I know. It still feels like, even though I'm 37, it still feels like, you know, this is like when you go back to school. It's like back to work. Summer's over, you know. We're wrapping it up.
You know, for me, you're right. I mean, maybe it's partly because of all those years of not only him, but then my own times of going back to school. It almost seems to me more like September is the begin or end of August, beginning of September is the end or the beginning of a new year, in other words.
Yeah.
More so
yeah,
to me than even January. And
yep.
Yeah.
It totally feels that way. Yeah. It's kind of it's the other beginning of the year. You know, it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the halfway point, but it's the new start of a new, yeah. I think of it like the business year, sort of. Like the work year.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully people have gone on some fun vacations or are going on some fun vacations just before so that they can be all relaxed, in a good mood, feeling happy, enjoying their work.
Everybody's been traveling, and now I'm about to start my, like, travel. I have, like, 3.5 weeks of out of travel time from now through the end of September. So I'm like, woo, now I have to get ready to hop on some planes, you know. I didn't go anywhere
mm-hmm.
for the summer, but now it's time to go, you know. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, tell us about where you're going to go, because that's pretty interesting what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, so I've been really, during this last couple years, you know, the pandemic, I wasn't traveling for singing work as much because things were really shut down, right? And so in the last year or so, I've started getting back out there, you know, doing some of the professional work I love to do. But these specific trips I have coming up, I'll be singing on some cruise ships. So I'm going out with a couple of the Royal Caribbean ships, and I'm in a show with a group of gals called Lady Luck, and we sing kind of Broadway, jazz, you know, lots of fun, very famous songs, Great American Songbook songs, and three-part harmony, and we do a lot of Broadway belting, and it's really, really fun, and I have two contracts doing that this month, so I'll be doing that, and then I'm actually going to Europe for fun. This is my vacation of the year. My brother lives over in London, and I'm going to go over to London and go to Ireland. So I'm really excited. I have some really fun travel coming up.
Oh, wow. That does sound fun.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
God. Yeah, the cruise ship one sounds so fun, too. I love the idea of all those Broadway songs that you're going to be doing. That would be really fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. You know, the girls that started this show are from Vegas. They all met in Vegas, and it's a lot of kind of Vegas-inspired music as well. So we sing Lady Luck. We sing That's Life, you know, Frank Sinatra.
Uh-huh.
I sing 9 to 5 in the show. You know, we do
a lot of
jazzy stuff, but there's some pop in there as well. You know, it's a really good mix of songs and
mm-hmm.
our own arrangements, and it's with a 7-piece band. So when you go on those cruises, they have – you know, the musicians, what's so cool about it is we do one rehearsal the day of the show at 4:00, and all those musicians in that band, that 7-piece band, they have just received our music that day, and they do the show with us that night. So these are all pros. I mean, they're very, very talented, and it's really fun playing with a horn section and getting the whole big band feel singing those jazz songs. So it's great. We have a great time.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And then also you're going to, in September, you're going to be at the West Coast Songwriters Conference in Redwood City, and you're going leading a workshop there, a performance workshop. Tell us a little bit about that and a little bit about West Coast Songwriters Conference.
Yeah, so the conference is a yearly event, and we have a lot of different folks from the music industry that come through. So obviously, you know what it's like, but for those that don't, we, you know, if you're interested in getting some feedback on songs, you can come literally get feedback on a song you're working on, or if you've got a song officially recorded and you're looking to get into, you know, syncing and TV and film, you can come meet with somebody who's in that part of the industry. Kind of what, you know, you kind of pick which direction you want to go at the conference. But I'm going to be teaching a workshop, come in and actually play live, like come sing through a song and working with them as a vocal coach, not just on anything technical, just on technical voice stuff, but on performance, you know, what it means to get on stage and sing something live. And if they have questions, if, you know, any artist has a question about something they're experiencing with their voice, we can talk about that. But we're also talking about performing and what it means to get on stage and put on a show. You know, what should you be thinking about? You know, what is the song about? All these different parts of what makes a performance captivating. And, you know, some people, sure, they've got natural stage presence, but stage presence is something you can work on, you know, how you get on stage and how you think about performing. And I always tell my clients this, but professionals, like artists that you go see that are on tours, they know the flow of that set. Yes, some things happen that are very fresh every single night, but they know the flow of those songs. They know what comes first, what's in the middle, what comes last. They know what energy it's going to take. Taylor Swift's out there playing for 3.5 hours. She knows what she needs to do during those 3.5 hours. That's part of being a professional, is really knowing how to go on stage and deliver the set that you've got ahead. So that's what I like to talk about and work on with artists and help them to tap into some more energy or some more adrenaline or a thinking that might help them unlock something that they can do on stage. So, yeah, I'm really excited to come do that. Up in September, September 9th weekend, I believe.
Yes, 09/09/23.
yes, exactly.
Yeah, and Dudley and I will be there also because we're managers for the San Rafael location for West Coast Songwriters.
Yay.
And you manage the one for LA, correct? So
I've been doing that for the last year, and right now we're doing our monthly open mic. So that's kind of our main event, which is the second Sunday of every month down here. We actually don't have one in September because I will be up there for the conference. But we will be back in October. October 8th, I believe, is the second Sunday this year. So we will be back then. It's at a great Cohen, which is on Fairfax in Los Angeles. It's a Chinese restaurant that has an amazing little music venue, and we just have a great time. We've been having such an amazing turnout, and it's become a pretty hoppin' open mic in Los Angeles, and I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of it. It's been really fun to build it up down here.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so proud of you, too. Dudley and Bob Crane and I have open mic at the Chinese restaurant in San Rafael called Yet Wa.
So many Chinese restaurants.
I know. And they also have really good food, and they have a nice little stage, and it's a comfortable place, a fun place to perform the songs that the songwriters have been
so awesome
writing. And so, yeah, that's, we do ours on, we changed ours to the third Thursday of the month, because we used to have it at the fourth one, and there's too many events that get in the way of that, so we changed ours to the third one.
There's been a lot of kind of changes with ours as well. We've had to go back and forth quite a few times, but now we're kind of nice and locked in, which is good, because it was definitely a bit all over the place for a while, but we are back on track, and now it's been pretty consistent, which has been great.
No, that's good. Well, it was super, 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 super fun having you on the show last year, but it was also fun having a chance to meet you in person at the conference and to take...
We had so much fun last year. It was a great conference last year.
Yeah, and it was fun being in the classroom with you and watching you teach. I forget which workshop we took of yours, but it was wonderful. And you just you're such a great teacher, so loving and kind and big-hearted. It's just, you know, it makes everybody feel really comfortable, and you make sure that everybody has a good time and have fun. So
So appreciate that. I mean, it really does mean a lot to me because I do really love this. You know, I love coaching and I love talking about this stuff, you know. And I think I say this to my students, but the thing I can relate to every student because I am a student, you know. Even if I teach this stuff, I know what it feels like, you know, to be the singer struggling or to be the singer who has a lot of questions or, you know, feeling something but not knowing what to do. I mean, I still need help sometimes, you know. I still go to coaching. I still figure out where I need to get better and where I need to learn more. And, yeah, I mean, that's something that's like ongoing, you know. So I appreciate that. I do try to be very, you know, have empathy and understand and be very open to whatever my students bring to the table because each person is different. And so each person's experience is different. And so no two students of mine are the same. And so it's really kind of one of those jobs, like you have to be very open to constantly learning because you're going to come up against new things each client you work with. And that's part of the joy of it too, because I just love singing and I love helping people tap into their voice and, you know, people that are trying to do it professionally and people that just love it, that just love to sing and just want to explore that. And it can help, studying voice can help so many people, regardless of whether they would consider themselves singers or not, you know.
Well, I talked to you about this before, that singing just is such a joyful thing to do. And I'm so thankful that I took voice lessons back in 2007 because, you know, as I told you last time you were on the show, I had been so jealous of Dudley and my husband Dudley and our son Xander singing and recording all these songs and then performing live. And I was going, oh, God, I really want to do this. And it was so funny because Xander, when I had him on the show recently and interviewed him, and I was telling him that, and he goes, wow, Mom, I didn't know that was what specifically got you to take the voice lessons. But
I love it. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it's so much fun now when I'm able to sing with the two of them, and I still get more nervous than they do. They're, you know, they've had lots of years of singing, and so they're
That's all it is, though. That's all it is, right? Is it's getting more opportunity to work through. You know, I always think of my voice teacher of many years, who's actually up there in Walnut Creek. She's a classical voice coach named Lucia. And she used to always say that to me when I was young, like, you know, the more seasoning you get, you know, the more you learn on stage and you become more prepared to deal with the different things that might come up or might happen or you might be up against. I mean, the years that I was on tour taught me so much about how to troubleshoot different scenarios on stage. I mean, the most insane things that you could think of, like I was like, oh, wow, I really learned something today when I almost fell off the back of the platform. Oh, I really learned something today when I almost tripped walking down the stairs while I was, I mean, you learn things about your body and about how you move and about how you breathe and like whatever. I mean, because sometimes you can't hear well. Sometimes the sound system is, what, you know, like whatever it might be, you start learning to navigate the feelings that come up being in those scenarios where you're having to do your job in the midst of something that is making you nervous or reactive, mm-hmm. we'll say. I say that. That's what we're working on, is how to be less reactive and how to be in control of your body. Because when you're on stage, the body is the instrument. So if you're mm-hmm. going to sing, you got to play the body. That's what is playing the sound. So you have to be able to control those things, you know?
And I love that. So, I love that. I mean, I can definitely picture that. And, you know, it reminds me of one of my teachers who taught me a lot about intuition, Sonia Choquette, had said, she goes, our ego doesn't want to move. It wants to stay still right. and it's nervous. It's our spirit that wants to move and sing and do all those things. And so, you know, you have to get to a point where you can feel in spirit in order to be able to really enjoy it. And
That's 1,000% it. I love that because that's exactly what it is. It's a spirit thing.
Yeah. And I think that's why music can connect with so many people, is because even if they don't realize it, it connects with their heart, with their spirit. And it's just one of the questions that Dudley asked me to ask you is, what kind of music do you like? I thought that was an interesting one, because I know you like a lot of different kinds of music, but I thought that was a really good question.
Oh, I do. God, I have so many great answers to this. So I will hit on a couple of my favorite artists, and it'll be quite a mix across the board. So I'm going to start with somebody who we actually just lost. But, I mean, my favorite singer of all time was Mr. Tony Bennett, and we just lost him. And I talk about him often. I always tell people that I learned to phrase music by listening to Tony Bennett sing. I learned to tell stories and really understand what that meant by watching his MTV Unplugged performance. And for anybody that's never seen it, go watch it. It is an incredible performance. Him just with his three-piece jazz band, the way he sings those songs, the way he tells those stories, the way he understands all of the versatility of his voice, like that was somebody I grew up on that music. So I have a very soft spot in my heart for, I love Natalie Cole. I mean, I love Frank Sinatra. I love all the greats, but Tony was my favorite. And I, you know, there was a lot of that. There's a lot of that in my life, you know, that kind of music. I do have a big vinyl collection. Some of the other things I really like to listen to is some of the old rock and roll stuff I grew up on. So I was very big in Fleetwood Mac and Neil Diamond and the Beach Boys and a lot of music like that from my parents. Even my dad, who passed away in 2020, he's a lot older. So he died at 88. He was 54 when he had me. So he introduced me to the Kingston Trio and some of the old, more folky music as well. Ernie Tennessee Ford, and, you know, he really liked a lot of that kind of stuff. Johnny Cash, that sort of music, Elvis. But as more modern stuff, some of my favorite artists, my favorite band in high school, still one of my favorite rock bands to this day, is the Foo Fighters. I will always be a Dave Grohl fan. I love grunge. I love Nirvana. Chris Cornell was one of my favorite rock singers, Soundgarden, if you're not familiar with him, who we also lost a couple years ago. So some of these artists are some of my favorites. But I love, you know, I was in a heavy rock band, and some of those bands that I was on tour with, like, I got to give a shout out to Shinedown. That's one of my favorite rock bands, and all of those guys are buddies of mine, and they are one of the best rock bands out there in the industry right now, just tons of number one hits in that world, and they just kill it, you know. So it's really a mix, you know. It's quite a mix across the board. I love that question, Dudley, because it is quite a mix of stuff that I like to listen to on my own, you know. So it's all over the place.
Well, you know, I think that for me, the people who really, really love music love lots of different kinds of music, just not the one kind. And that's, again, you know, it's getting into an ego thing where, oh, well, I only like this band, or I only like this kind of music, or whatever. You know, that's, music is music. And, you know, as long as it moves my spirit, I don't care what kind it is. You know, or
totally,
whether they're really
the
young
way.
People or really old people that do it, or in between somewhere. But,
and it's a mood
yeah.
thing, you know, like the kind of
mm-hmm.
music I listen to depends on what I'm doing. You know, if I go down into my gym or I want to work out or something, there's
mm-hmm.
a very good chance you're going to hear me putting on a Beck record. I don't know if you know Beck, but I
mm-hmm.
love Beck. And there's nothing uh-huh. I would rather work out to than a Beck mix, because he plays all types of music. Some of his stuff is acoustic. Some of it is really eclectic and kind of electronic and
uh-huh.
You know, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? Like, he just has these fun jams, like really great songs. So there's such a mix of, like, it depends on what I'm doing. If I'm cleaning in my house, a lot of times I'm going to put on an old, like, Glenn Miller record and listen to big band music because it keeps my energy up while I'm doing boring housework, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I just really get drawn to different stuff. All across the board, you know, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's when you said Foo Fighters, that is one of our son Xander's favorite bands and has become one of ours as well. He took us to see them.
Oh,
and,
yay!
Years ago, a lot of years ago that we went to see them the first time. But yeah,
you got to see Taylor. I'm glad you got to see Taylor.
Oh yeah,
drum.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Aww.
Yeah,
it was such a sad thing to see him
yeah.
go. I mean, I will never forget, that was the first, like, you know, I saw Neil Diamond when I was 7 years old, but the first rock concert, real rock
mm-hmm.
concert I went
mm-hmm.
to, I was about 15, and it was the Foo Fighters, and it was in Oakland. I can't remember what the arena was
oh,
or what the
wow.
venue was, but
uh-huh.
I remember when they came on stage, they opened the show with One by One, I'm a Searching for Something
oh,
Never
God,
Comes.
Yeah.
And they opened with that song. And I remember when Taylor hit the drums, like a bolt of electricity went through my body. I've never felt what I felt that night, like that first moment of seeing a rock band like that on stage. It was
uh-huh.
crazy. It was so cool. And he was such a special drummer. So shout out to
yeah.
Taylor. It's very, very sad that he's gone.
It is very sad. Oh, my. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you said about moods and how music affects your moods is so true. And I just
yeah.
saw something on Instagram just a little while ago, too. I don't even remember who posted it, but it was a little poster saying about how music, listening to uplifting music, can help you be happier within a couple of weeks. And I thought, you
yeah.
know, so many people listen to sad songs all the time, and it's, you know, and then they wonder why they feel sad.
It's so true. I mean, it's true. Like, you know, I've been trying to go see more movies lately, and I find
mm-hmm.
that too. It's like, what am I going to go sit and do for the next 2 hours? What mood do I want to be in? Like, am I going to
mm-hmm.
go sit and watch? I was just saying that to my roommate. I want to go see Oppenheimer, but man, you got to be ready for 3 hours of some heavy stuff, you know? It's like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's movies and music, the content that we put in our head, you know, the content that we put in our brain takes
right.
up space, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's yeah. What kind of mood do you want to be in? I mean, music can really shift that for people. And I think that's why singing is so powerful, even bringing it back to that, because
mm-hmm.
singing is a very cathartic activity. If you sing a song because you're feeling sad and it's a sad song, chances are you're going to bring something out, you know, in yourself, you're going to draw
mm-hmm.
something forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's powerful stuff. It's medicine, you know, in
yeah.
its own way, it's its own medicine.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember hearing too, that what you can do is if you're feeling sad, sing some sad songs, then sing some a little bit happier and happier. I mean, because even
right.
me, I love up things and, you know, really positive music and fun music and whatever, but if I'm in a down mood, that doesn't work for me. I need to listen
right.
to it when I'm in the right kind of mood for it. So, yeah, moods definitely can be shifted by the music and also can help you decide what to listen to and when and that sort of thing.
Totally.
Yeah. Well,
100%.
You know, we only have 5 minutes left.
Well, it's been a great
so
chat so
fast.
Far, so we'll action-pack
yeah.
the last five.
Yeah, And well, I just wanted to say that that let's talk a little bit about your vocal coaching if you'd like to, because I mean, you said people do that. Do they do it in person or do they do it on Zoom, or how do you do it?
You know, it's both. So if you are local to Los Angeles, you are welcome to come in person. I do have a studio out of my part of town, which I'm in an area called El Sereno Hills, which is sort of, for anybody that's familiar with LA, kind of between Pasadena, Highland Park, and downtown, kind of right in the middle there. And I do teach in person, but I also do a lot of coaching virtually. So there's a couple things I offer. I offer one-on-one lessons. For those that have never met me before, you can schedule a 30-minute consultation for free. We love free, so that's always an option. And all of this is on my website. So if you go to melissahardingmusic.com under the coaching section, you'll find a bunch of testimonials, and that's where you can sign up for all this stuff. I also host a monthly support group for singers called the Singer Safe Place. And it's a once a month conversation. It's a 2-hour class. And then I offer some like virtual group classes as well, which are just like, you know, if you're a pop rock singer, come to class and work on a song that you want to work on, but work in front of the group and get some one-on-one coaching. So I kind of have multiple things, but yeah, I work one-on-one with students all over the world. I have students in Europe and in Australia. I've worked with people and, you know, all over the U.S. of course. And it's a great way to just be able to get more done quickly. You know, being in the comfort of your own home is great. So I get all my students set up with really understanding vocal health and the mechanics of their voice, as well as really focusing on performance and, you know, vocal care in terms of the style that they want to sing. So that's kind of different based on where you're coming from. If I'm working with somebody who's working on musical theater, it's very different than if I'm working with a singer-songwriter that sings in their own style, right? Musical theater kind of has its own different styles, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And I really like encouraging singers to play with different styles, because that also opens up a lot of options in the voice, you know. And there's a lot of singers out there that are really good at doing that. They can play with different characters in their voice. And then there's singers out there that have kind of one main character that they use, you know. So there's a lot to kind of play with, you know, in that world of study.
I love that, play with. I've always loved the idea of, instead of workshops, have play shops. Maybe we can call the one that you're doing at West Coast Songwriters Conference a play shop. Let's see, play
exactly.
Shop or performance. Performance play shop. There we go.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that really is what it is, because when you're coming to train, you got to feel open to playing. You've got to be willing to experiment. You've got to be willing to go into foreign territory and try things differently than you're doing them now. That's the only way that you're going to kind of, number one, for a lot of singers, undo bad habits, but also learn better habits, you know, healthier habits, that so that you can do whatever the heck you want on stage. That's always my goal with my students. I want you to be free on stage. So how can we make your voice the strongest, healthiest instrument behind the scenes so that you can go on stage and be rock and roll if that's what you want to do, you know?
Right.
But you got to take care of your voice. This is why people end up getting vocal surgery. Steven Tyler's had 4-something vocal surgeries. I mean, that's hard music to sing every night. You know, rock and roll music is hard to sing every night. You got to really, know how to take care of that instrument if you want it to do those types of things. So, yeah, I really love talking about this stuff.
Well, I think you are fabulous and fun and fantastic, and I really highly
recommend you.
I highly recommend your workshop, and I haven't done the Zooms yet, but that sounds like a lot of fun. So everyone out there, whatever music gives you joy, sparks joy for you, live your music. And if you love to sing or want to sing and have been afraid to sing, can be learned.
Yes, it can.
Yeah, so check out Melissa's website and maybe sign up for an in-person class if you're in the LA area, or do one of the Zooms, or see us at the conference as well.
Yes, I'm so excited to see you, Margo. It's going to be great.
Yeah, Dudley and I are both super excited to see you again. So we'll see you soon. And we're going to get cut off any second. So everyone out there, Remember to live your music. And bye for now, Melissa.
Bye. Thank
everyone.
You.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the ways you live your music and encourage others to do it. That is so
I'm so happy
awesome.
To do it.
Well, bye for now.
So happy.
Bye.